And that story of Carol's, as part of that, brings me on to my next item. Because, interesting letter this week in the Irish Independent from John O'Brien from Clonmel, County Tipperary. I believe Christmas carols are important because they tell the story of Jesus' birth, spread joy and community spirit, evoke powerful feelings of nostalgia and connection, and other health benefits through singing, uniting tradition with celebration, scripture and a shared human experience. Carols serve as a cultural touchstone. So far, I haven't seen or heard any of our street Christmas carol singers and the traditional carols. What has happened to them? Wonders John, and posed a question here for us on the programme. Are we seeing less and less of it? Have a little listen to this before we talk more on the subject. Yeah, that's In the Bleak Midwinter, one of those traditional carols that perhaps maybe are dying out. What's your view on it? Get in touch with us in the programme. There are carol services that still exist, but are we seeing less and less of it in daily life as we run into the Christmas period? With me on the line to talk about this, we have got Simon Lumby, who is the Archdeacon of Limerick and Ardfort and Ahadó, Rector of Killarney. And we also have Tim Dennehy with us on the line as well. Tim, good morning to you and thanks for joining us, Simon. Good morning to you as well, and thanks so much for talking to us on the programme this morning. And Tim is a singer himself, of course, and we're going to be hearing more about that in a moment. But Simon, I'll start with you on this one. Does the letter writer have a point, perhaps? Is there less and less of carol singing out there as we run into Christmas?
Hi, Gary. Happy Christmas to everybody.
Same to you.
I think he does have a point. And I certainly believe that carol singing has a great social benefit. And a lot of people come to the annual carol service at our church. We fill the church because people are so keen on being able to listen to and to sing carols. I've not heard so much out there in the public space this year.
Yeah, and that's the element of it, isn't it? When you put on shows or put on carol services, you get a huge number of people wanting to be part of it, wanting to hear the singing.
That's right, yeah. And I remember last year, we weren't able to get a choir in, and people complained because they couldn't hear other people singing carols, not just that they wanted to sing them themselves. You know, so there's a participatory aspect to it. Singing carols yourselves is okay, but actually to hear them being sung and to hear them being sung well is actually part of Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a tradition that stretches back, hundreds of years, that element of coming together, singing and celebrating, you know, the religious side of things at this time of year, which is what it's all about.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know when the first carols would have been sung, but they would have been singing at Christmas right back from the very earliest days of the faith. So certainly it's a central part of our expression of our faith, to be able to sing hymns and carols, particularly at Christmas time, but also at other times of the year when we have festivals to celebrate.
Yeah, indeed. Tim Dennehy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Joey. Good morning to your listeners, and thanks for having us on. I'm saying hello to you here from Milltown Malbay on the west coast of Clare. So happy Christmas to all.
Fantastic. Have you noticed it? Less and less maybe public carol singing going on?
I don't know. I don't know if I fully agree with that. Just my own experience here, because I'm from South Kerry, originally from Danskerrigs and later Carrigsaveen. So I've been gone out of South Kerry and Kerry a long time. But we have a lovely tradition here that goes way, way back, apparently over 100 years. And it took a break there in somewhere in the 70s. And it's back now in Milltown, where there's street carol singing every year, community-based carol singing. They start in the church, inside in the church, and then they march through up to the square in Milltown with their candles. They sing and they're highly organized. There's the words. Now, I don't know whether that's representative of other places, but it's a huge event here. And when it's finished, then they sing around the Christmas tree for a while. All the carols are included. There are some individuals, some people sing together, and then there's a choir as well. And they go back to the various hostelries or restaurants, and there's free tea and coffee, and then there's a little bit more communal singing there. And it's actually absolutely uplifting. In fact, it happened just last Monday here on the streets of Milltown, and it happens every year. And if the weather is very bad, they just go into the church and stay there. So my experience there is very positive. I'd say overall in certain places, it might be because of the commercial aspect of Christmas now, maybe you have a little bit less of it. Certainly maybe in the bigger cities, but as I say, from my point of view in Milltown here, and I want to say really well done to the organisers last Monday again, we had a fantastic evening.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant, Tim. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Is part of it maybe that they're battling with the Christmas hits of the last few decades that get, you know, sung and played, that there may be the issue of traditional carols is fighting against the popularity of more modern music?
I think there's something in that, certainly. And I think that for years now, because of the mobility of people, because of the certain wealth, not everybody, of course, and the expectation has gone through the roof. I mean, I was teaching for over 30 years, both in Dublin and then later in Ennis in County Clare, just 20 miles in the road from where I'm speaking to you. And I could see every year incrementally the whole commercial aspect of Christmas getting more pronounced as against the religious aspect, the spiritual aspect, and the communal aspect. So that's taking a hit. You have television, you have the shows and that type of thing. So there's no doubt that, and of course the volunteerism is becoming much more difficult, not just in carol singing, but in sport and in music and in all other aspects as well. It's very, very, it's increasingly more difficult. And you were speaking about volunteerism there just as we came on air. But I think everybody will say that it's more difficult to get volunteers, and it's very, very often down to a small band of people. However, I mean, the people who do it are fantastic. They deserve great praise. And I think we do need to focus on the central issue of Christmas, which is, you know, sharing the joy, the mystery, and the taking a break. You know, we're in a real rat race here, a commercial rat race for years. It doesn't do anybody any good, really. And I think we need to take a breath at Christmas time and maybe to sing and to go back to reading stories to our children. I have two grandchildren here in the house, and there'll be another one arriving in a day or two for Christmas. Santa is arriving tonight. And the whole mystery of that and children's expectations in a simple sort of way, and to hear their father and mother reading to them, is a very beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly is. Simon, would you agree with that, what Tim said, and that communal aspect? And the letter writer made that point as well about it's coming together to sing, to reflect, to come together as a community, the power of the nostalgia of it for people, but also going to hear a choir or sing as part of a choir, a carol. It's part of, you know, being sociable, being together at Christmas time, which is important.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree entirely with everything that's just been said. And I actually would add that there's a way in which singing carols is part of the vehicle by which we communicate the mystery of Christmas. In the words of the carols, there's very deep theology. And a lot of times in the old days, way, way back, when people were not literate, being able to hear these things sung and to see them in the stained glass windows was the way they learnt what it was about, to learn what Jesus Christ means to us, and learned about all of the mysteries of the stories of the old ways and the faith. So absolutely, it's a part of our core being that we express our spirituality in these ways, and not just whether it's a Christian spirituality, but in any kind of spirituality. People would express by communal rituals and by song and by readings and hearing and listening and all of those things. It's a core human expression of our faith.
Yeah, yeah. And look, we played in the Bleak Midwinter. That's an example of a traditional carol. Is that, that's your favourite one, Simon, is it?
It is indeed.
And is there any particular reason it was when you were growing up, when you were younger, did it inform your faith, or how did it work?
Yeah, no, I don't think it worked that way. When I first came across this carol, it was the tune that struck me. The tune is absolutely fabulous. It's a gorgeous tune. Really evocative and really stretching the imagination deep inside, you know, where words don't live, where the heart sings. And then looking at the words, the way that Christina Rossetti wrote this poem in the Christmas of 1871, it's a very, very clever poem, and it speaks very strongly in a theological way. But also, it makes us connect. We are here now, and Christ was born back then. And it actually, the way the carol works, it helps us to connect. Because when we look at the first verse, in the bleak midwinter, well, people keep arguing about whether Palestine has a bleak midwinter. Of course it doesn't.
Yeah.
But actually, in 1871, in London, where she lived, they had a very bad winter. I mean, the temperature didn't rise above -3. So she sat at her desk writing this poem, looking out of the window at the scenery. So the first verse and the last verse are about us now. Yeah?
Yeah.
The middle verses, the verses 2, 3, and 4, are about Christ back then. And the way that the poem works is absolutely astonishing. In the beginning of the second verse, our God, heaven cannot hold him. And at the end of the fourth verse, worship the beloved with a kiss. Heaven cannot hold God, and yet he can be kissed. It's an astonishing juxtaposition of presence. And then the final verse, absolutely wonderful. What can I give him? In the bleak midwinter, when everything is bad, everything looks horrible, everything is rock hard, and the Thames is frozen over, there's snow everywhere. What can I give him? I give him my heart. It's the warmest place, the place of our soul, the place of our spiritual being. And she's a fabulous poet, and Christina Rossetti, when she wrote this, she's something absolutely astonishing. And I look at it every time, and every time I see something new about the theology of Christ.
Yeah. It stands the test of time, Simon, that's for sure. Okay, stay with me on the line. We're gonna talk a small bit more about this. We're going to hear a bit more music as well. We'll get to that with Simon and Tim after we take these. Yeah, we're on the line talking about traditional Christmas carols and I suppose their place in our consciousness in 2025. We've the Archdeacon of Limerick, Fort Ahado, Rector of Killarney, Simon Lumby, and also we've got Tim Dennehy, originally from Ballinskellig and Carrisavie, now living in Milltown, Malbay. And Tim, tell me, first of all, we're going to play out with the Kerry Christmas Carol by Sigerson Clifford, as sung by you. Tell me a bit about that one and why it's so special.
Yeah, well, I came across Sigerson's work as it was completely out of print. He was born in Cork of Kerry parents and moved to Kerry moved to Carrisavie when he was about a year and a half. The book was published, The Ballads of a Bogman, in 1955, and I found a copy of it in an old library in Dublin. And I saw these, many of these that were written as poems. I mean, he wrote The Boys Are Born in Stroyde, which is his most famous song, but also there were lovely tinker ballads in there. And then the Kerry Christmas Carol struck me as being something really beautiful. I mean, it was written in the 50s sometime, but it has a much older feel, a lovely earthy feel to it. And it touches on that tradition, which I would have known as a child, where there was a candle lit, the curtains were pulled across, they were opened, there was a fire lit on the grate, there was food left on the table, and the door was left on the latch. Because the story of the first Christmas, where Mary, Joseph and the child Jesus were refused in Bethlehem, and this was a gesture to say that if the Holy Family travel the roads of South Kerry or anywhere else, on the West Coast particularly, this tradition was very strong, they would be welcome. And I think it was a gesture that went wider than that and was more universal than that, that said, look, if a stranger comes here tonight, or if there's somebody on the margin that comes to our door, we will feed him, we will give him a bed, we will give him some warmth, and he can stay for the night. And I love that message that it has. The lovely first verse, brush the floor and clean the hearth and set the fire to keep, for they might visit us tonight when all the world's asleep. Don't blow the tall white candle out, but leave it burning bright so that they'll know they're welcome here this holy Christmas night. When I saw those words, I said, look, we'd have to put a tune to that. And I did put a tune to it, and Gary O'Brien, the great musician, gave me a hand, and we recorded it on Between the Mountains and the Sea. And then he sings the songs of Fexon and Clifford back in 2003. And that's what the Kerry Christmas Carol means to me. It's set in South Kerry, Jerry, but it's much more universal, as all the great carols are.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it certainly is. Simon, final word to you before we hear that song. Tonight's Christmas Eve. Is it a chance for people to reconnect with carols, whether you're listening on the radio or TV? There's actually a carol service programme on Kerry Today tonight, or Kerry Radio Kerry tonight, but whether you're playing it on a modern device, whatever it is, that Christmas Eve is an ideal time to delve back into it. Oh, I think we might have lost Simon on the line there. Okay.
Here I am.
Yes, Simon, yeah. Is it an opportunity this evening to think about it and to play maybe the old ones?
It is, yes. We're rolling out the carols like fury at the moment. We're singing them every opportunity we have. So there's a service tonight in our church at 11 p.m. For Christmas Eve, and then 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, Christmas Day. And all of the popular carols, we have them ready to for everybody who wants to come and sing them.
Brilliant. That's great. Simon, great stuff. Thanks so much for talking to us on the programme. And thanks as well to Tim for talking about those carols. And a happy Christmas to both of you.
Thank you. Happy Christmas to you and to all your listeners.
Great. Fantastic. This is the Kerry Christmas Carol by Sigerson Clifford, sung by Tim Dennehy.
Send the fire to kind, for they might visit us tonight when all the world's asleep. Don't blow the tall white candle out, but leave it burning bright, so then they'll know this holy Christmas night. Leave out the brand and mead for them, and sweet milk for the child, and they will bless the fire that baked, and to the hands that toiled. For Joseph sleep a little while before they journey on. They will be weary of the roads, and rest will comfort them. Must be many a lonely mile from here to Bethlehem. Oh, long the road they have to go, a bad mile which the gun, till the journey ends on